Boy, I've been looking forward to this segment all day long. We welcome Mark Simon to the show. Fans, let me tell you a little bit about him. Mark Simon is a senior research analyst for Sports Info Solutions. He works with broadcast crews, including the Giants, to provide interesting notes and stats that can be used during the games. He's worked at ESPN as a head researcher for Baseball Tonight. This guy knows what he's talking about, and also wrote a book about the history of the Yankees. All right. Mark Simon, how are you?
I'm great. Looking forward to this. How are you?
Very good. Hey, I used FIP yesterday. It's on the big scoreboard at Oracle Park, and everyone said, boy, you're getting educated. Tell me about FIP. I just want to make sure I'm using it correctly, because it is one of those analytical stats that is now mainstream, and a lot of people may not understand it.
Yeah, I think it gets a bad knock because of the acronym, because people don't have any sense for what FIP means compared to something like ERA. If the stat was called should be ERA, it might make a little bit more sense to people. And the idea behind the stat is to look at three things for a pitcher: strikeouts, walks, home runs allowed. Those are the things that are considered the most important for a pitcher, the things that he essentially has a little bit more control over than something else. If you're good in those stats, it's almost impossible to be a bad pitcher. Mm. If you have a 4-1, the elite pitchers in the game, the Scherzers, the Bumgarner at his peak, the top pitchers, those are the guys that have the 4-1 strikeout to walk and the home runs allowed that are in the teens or low tens. If your strikeouts to walk are more like 2-1, 2.5-1, it's almost impossible to be someone who's really good, who's at that Scherzer Bumgarner level. What FIP does is it just gives you a sense of what your ERA should be based on that, rather than what your ERA might be because of things like your defense wasn't very good, or your defense was really good and helped you out and made you look better than you were.
Got it. Very good. Great explanation. I wasn't too far off. The only thing I wasn't sure about is what's a good home run percentage? What do you look for?
Generally, you would want a guy that would be in this era. If a guy's below 1 per 9 innings, you've got a guy that's top of the line. Most guys these days, because of the home run explosion, are going to be in that 1.2 range, 1.3 range. But the guys that are below one, those are going to tend to be your elite starting pitchers, with maybe a few exceptions.
All right, very good. Mark Simon is with us, Sports Info Solutions, and we'll talk more about where we can find Mark's work. But Derek Rodriguez pitches tonight, and I've been making a big deal about his walk to strikeout ratio. At some point in the season, he walked very few. His last three, he's starting to walk people. He's not striking out a lot of people. So let's talk about his ERA, which I should have in front of me somewhere, and what his FIP should be. So let's do a little analysis of Rodriguez.
Sure. And the key for him is to look at last year when he had the ERA that was like, what, like 2.8. But he did it somehow striking out only 6.5 per 9 innings and walking like, I think it was like 2.5. Okay. So his strikeout to walk was okay. His home runs were good. He wasn't allowing a lot of home runs, but his ERA was about a point lower, a full point, a full run lower than what it should have been. Now, why did that happen? It happened because the Giants' infield defense played amazing behind him. It's one of those things that probably gets overlooked over the course of 162 games. Like, you can't really tell if a defense is playing really well behind a pitcher for 25 starts. The Giants' defense, I think it was like 82, 83, 84% of the ground balls that were hit when he was pitching were turned into outs. So, in other words, hitters hit like 150, 160 on ground balls against him. Mm. That's abnormal. Normally, hitters are hitting like 230, 240 on ground balls. You can't count on that every year. This year, more ground balls getting through, more home runs allowed, and Derek's not as good.
Wow, very good. What? Now, he's at 4.35. I don't know if you have it in front of you. What would his FIP be? What should be the accurate one based on those ratios?
I think it was fairly close to what his ERA is. It's been 1 second I can find that.
Okay.
His FIP is 4.6.
Okay, so he's about where he should be.
Right. He's essentially pitched to the nothing's been askew when he's pitched. He's been rewarded properly.
All right.
Now, rewarded, I mean, he's 4.35. That's not that great.
No, which isn't great because they're counting on him to do better than that. All right, very good. So the numbers do help explain that. Mark Simon is with us, senior research analyst for Sports Info Solutions. Mark, the bullpens. Boy, last night, not very good bullpens. Well, I guess the Giant bullpen did all right last night because Beattie gave up the bulk of the runs. But that Cincinnati bullpen, they couldn't get it together the whole night. What about the Reds bullpen vis-a-vis the Giants?
So it was really funny. When you looked at it going into last night's game, they had the same bullpen ERA. They were tied for the best in the National League. The Giants up to second best. I think the Reds looked to like fourth or fifth just off of one game because we're only a fifth of the way into the season. But the thing that I wanted to tell you about the bullpen was when you look at the Giants bullpen and when you look at the Reds bullpen, they each have two to three guys who have an elite secondary pitch. You saw it a little bit yesterday with Amir Garrett. I think they were very fortunate to get hits against Amir Garrett yesterday. Brandon got a hit. Belt got a hit off a fastball, which is how you got to hit Garrett, because this season Amir Garrett's thrown like 80-something sliders and none have been base hits. Every single slider he's thrown, the 80 he's thrown, has had no worse than the result of being just a ball. They've got another guy, I don't think we saw him last night, Robert Stevenson. He's thrown, he has a slider that is at the very, very, very top of the sport. 74 swings against the slider, 44 missed. Mm. That's a lot. I mean, you don't need a sabermetric degree to know that that's pretty ridiculous, right? 44 out of 74. The good thing is that the Giants have two guys that are essentially in that elite class right with them in Will, who's been fantastic and who I think at the trade deadline is going to fetch a very nice haul this season. Same amount of sliders as Garrett, basically one base hit allowed. And then Reyes Moronta, who's got the slider and the changeup, 95 sliders this season, only two hits. And then Trevor Gott, it's the fastball. It's throwing 95, 96, and nobody's able to touch it. Guys are swinging and missing at rates that you would see, not necessarily from like Chapman, but maybe the next guy down. He's just been awesome, and the fastball's been great for him.
Boy, great, great stuff. It really helps explain everything. I love hearing about this stuff. Two players, I'm not sure where they are in their timeline of their careers, but one is Joey Votto, 0-for-7 last night, and it was the old Ichiro way, you know, throw it up and away or up and in, and you can kind of get him. That was the only spot I remember that Ichiro used to be pitched to, but Votto just can't catch up with anything, and Longoria is starting to show signs of life.
Yeah, you nailed it with Votto, actually. I looked this up right before we came on. He's typically throughout his career, he's like a 280 hitter on pitches up, on pitches away. This season, he's below 100 on those pitches. And you saw it last night, as you said, that's how the Giants got him out. Until he's able to do something with it, I think he's just going to keep seeing it. And you saw a little decline in his game last year. And now you're seeing potentially, I don't want to doubt a guy who was that good of a hitter just yet, but you're seeing more of a decline from him this year. As for Longoria, this is one where I think we could have a good discussion, with Kuiper and Kruk and Dave and John about this. I think the ballparks killed him. If you look at his numbers last season, he should have hit probably 40 to 50 points higher. He should have had more doubles. He should have had more home runs. He should have been a better player. And he was still hitting the ball hard. He's still hitting the ball hard this year. He's hitting a few more balls on the ground. But, boy, he should be performing. I wonder if he's gotten psyched out a little bit by it. Although it was nice to see him park one last night. And it was kind of funny. It reminded me a lot of the home run that he hit to put the Rays in the playoffs back in 2011. It was pretty cool.
It was exciting. Well, I think the Dodger hit did wonders for him. I really do. This week, the big hit to beat the Dodgers.
Yep.
Yeah, I see that. Joey Votto, Hall of Fame career, boy, has sort of gotten sidetracked, hasn't it?
Yeah, last couple of years. Last year was not as good. The start of this year is not as good. I think he's still right there, though. He was an elite player for a pretty good while. He's going to be he's a potential albatross contract, though, if he doesn't figure it out.
Yeah.
He's getting paid for a good while.
Well, we'll see if Rodriguez can go up and away and get that fastball up to Votto tonight. That's something absolutely to look for. Your dad is a Giants fan. You've grown up around the Giants, even though you're back east. But you told me something, and I don't know the answer to it, but using all the metrics and all the things that you know, Willie McCovey, Game 7, World Series 1962, Ralph Terry, if he, as Charlie Brown said, if he could only have hit it 3 feet higher, the Giants would have won the World Series. Take us back through that at bat using sort of the sabermetrics of what could have been expected.
Sure. So this is kind of cool. Our company, what our company does is we track every batted ball and we essentially plot it and we time it and we look at every aspect of the type of batted ball that it is. And it allows us to compute for any spot on the field, all right, how often is that ball a hit for a left-handed batter, a right-handed batter, so on and so forth. So I went on YouTube and I found a video that showed a lot of the times when you watch that at bat, they just show you the real close in shot of Bobby Richardson making the catch and you don't get any perspective as to where he was necessarily. But there was a broadcast video that panned out a little bit and you could see they were shifting. This is 1962. They were shifting Willie McCovey. The shortstop was almost to second base, like a step away. And Bobby Richardson was way, way over in the first base, second base hole. Mm. So I did the things that we would do to try and figure out, all right, how often is that a hit? And I laughed when I saw what the answer was. I plotted where the ball was hit. I looked at the defense. I said it was a left-handed batter. I went through all the different things, and it came out as 50-50.
Okay. So we needed three more feet. That would have been
yes,
it.
Exactly. And that's the thing. The if the ball had been hit higher, it's probably 80-20, right?
Right. The launch angle was only 7 degrees or
yes,
something like that.
Exactly. It was a 50-50 ball.
Wow. What a pleasure.
The wrong 50.
What a pleasure having you on, Mark. We will absolutely do this again and Sports Info Solutions, and we'll have you on again. A lot of fun talking to you. I appreciate it.
Great.
Very good. Boy, Mark Simon, that's good stuff. Very good. More coming up. Sports Leader.